Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, hello, and a very, very warm welcome to the Performance Habit for October. My name is Josie Askin and I'm the founder of Spring Coaching. Now this month, we're talking about something that I think impacts every single one of us, balance. And no, before you roll your eyes and think I'm going to try and convince you that you need to wake up at the crack of dawn and do sun salutations as the sun rises, or that I have the perfect morning routine for you that will simply change your life forever, I want to reassure you that that isn't what today's topic is all about. Although, now if you like waking up at the crack of dawn and doing sun salutations, and if you've found the perfect morning routine, then I salute you. Well done. Keep doing that if it's working for you. Now instead, this month, I want to talk about balance. And I want to talk about it as being the foundation of growth and development. I see balance as being the missing link between either staying in a rut and burning out. But before we dive into this month's big topic, let me tell you a little bit more about who I am. So I'm a leadership and performance coach, and I'm the founder of Spring Coaching. My work is all about helping other ambitious individuals and teams to do more of what really matters to them without tipping into overwhelm or burnout. I'm the first to admit that I'm a bit geeky, particularly when it comes to sustainable high performance and behaviour change. And I love bringing the science into everyday life because life is too short to do things that don't work. And in case you're wondering what I mean when I talk about sustainable high performance, because that is a concept that I talk about quite a lot within this radio program, I'm talking about being able to perform your best, however your best looks for you, but in a way that feels doable and manageable. I know that in our hustle, go, go, go culture, we're taught to push hard, to give our all, and when I fully encourage ambition and drive, it does need to be done in a way that is sustainable. Otherwise, we can reach the dizzying heights of success, and then we're simply not able to maintain it. Often we come crashing down and end up feeling even worse for our efforts. I'm also an athlete. And it's my life as an athlete where I learned the most significant lessons about performance, but also balance. And this was following a significant injury that I had about a decade ago. Now this injury, which I'll talk to you more about in a moment, but it really forced me to step back and reevaluate how I approach performance. Now thankfully and lucky for me, I made a full recovery, but that experience really did reshape not only how I train as an athlete, but also how I think about effort, rest and growth, and also my identity as well, which is such a key component. Now, all of these lessons I now share with the people and the teams that I coach. Each month in this program, I'm going to be sharing practical evidence-based ideas that you can actually apply, whether you're leading a team, running a business, raising a family, or let's face it, just juggling life's demands. That's hard enough. The goal here is simple, is to help you show up as your best self, in a way that feels doable and sustainable. So with that, let's jump into today's theme, the importance of balance. And I want to share my favorite equation with you. So as I said, I'm a geek, so there's quite a few equations that rattle around in my head, but this is my absolute favorite one. And it's the idea that stress plus rest equals growth. So let's unpick that a little bit more. And then you kind of dive into what I mean by that. So if we start with the equation, stress plus rest equals growth, let's talk about stress first. And when I talk about stress, it isn't just pressure or anxiety, it's anything that's challenging, anything that requires a bit of stretch or effort. So it could be a long Saturday run, doing a presentation or doing a pitch, learning a new skill, or just even having a difficult conversation with a colleague or a loved one. And I also want to make it clear that in my books, stress isn't bad. In fact, we need stress in order to grow and develop. And there is some really interesting studies out there that talk about how the negative impacts of stress depend on your perceptions. But that's a really big, juicy topic that I can't wait to dive in another month. If you hang out long enough with athletes, or perhaps you like to work out yourself, you may be familiar with the term progressive overload. That's the idea of gradually challenging yourself bit by bit, whether it be lifting a little bit of a heavier weight, or running a bit further, or doing something a little bit new and different. It's a key principle in any training program. So, for example, whenever I run a running program for another athlete, I always look to increase the distance that they're training by about 10%, that's roughly the sweet spot, each week during a build-up phase, and then I usually add in recovery phase. So you build for a little bit and then you recover. But progressive overload is all well and good. It's good to gradually challenge yourself. But that isn't where the magic happens. The magic happens during the recovery stage. When you recover properly, your body and mind can adapt and get stronger. This means that the next challenge becomes easier. Without recovery, you can't grow stronger, fitter, faster. Now, in sports science, this process is called supercompensation. But really, it's just a fancy word to kind of describe the idea of your system coming back stronger after stress. Basically, it's growth. And that's why athletes, or maybe I should reframe that slightly, successful elite athletes manage to avoid being sidelined by living the mantra, train hard, recover harder. They spend far more time and effort looking to improve their recovery than they do their training. So if you think of this idea of stress plus rest, a little bit like a wave, you dip down into effort and then you rise higher during recovery. Now, a couple of my heroes, Steve Magnus and Brad Stolberg, both amazing performance coaches in their own right. They also co-authored a book together called Peak Performance: Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive: The New Science of Success. It's a bit of a mouthful. It's a pretty awesome title. But what they talk about, one, they introduced a growth equation that I've just shared with you, but they also term this idea of peak performance and then rest recovery as oscillation. So effort and ease, push and pause. So a question for you to reflect on, whether you do that now as you're listening to the show or maybe in the coming days, is where in your life are you constantly pushing but really pausing? And what might change if you acted more like an athlete and you treated rest as part of the work itself, maybe prioritizing rest over the effort? So supercompensation is the core principle that we're going to be talking about today. But I want to make it clear that although that term comes from sports science, it's not just for athletes, and it also isn't a brand new concept either. In fact, I first came across this idea of oscillating between periods of peak performance and rest and recovery in a Harvard Business Review article that was written by Dr. Jim Lohr, so Dr. Jim Lohr, who is a world-renowned performance psychologist, but also the co-founder of Human Performance Institute, along with another author, Tony Schwartz, in 2001. That's kind of showing my age. So, we're talking a couple of decades ago. And in that article, that was titled The Making of a Corporate Athlete, they wrote about how sustained high achievement demands physical and emotional strength, as well as a sharp intellect. Then, in order to do this, basically executives need to do what top athletes already know and already do. Train hard, recover harder. Now, these two did go on to write a top-selling book called The Powerful Engagement, which is based on this whole idea of oscillating between periods of peak performance and rest and recovery. It's a really great read as well. So this idea being that all executives, or in fact anyone that wants to be able to perform at a high level consistently, needs to train like athletes with deliberate cycles of stress and recovery. So this means that energy management is just as important as time management, such a key concept. And the idea being that your energy and your time are the most precious quantities that you have. So I just want to do a little shout out to you for tuning in and listening to this radio program. So key to this is this idea of whether you're running marathons or board meetings, this principle of growth requires stress and rest holds true. So I mentioned earlier about the injury that I had and how I'm an athlete. So about a decade ago, As I said, I had a very bad injury, which put me on crutches for several months. Now, at first, I thought, oh, I can push through this. If I just work harder, I'll be able to get back to where I was. But actually, ignoring recovery only made things worse. And to be perfectly honest with you, it was overtraining. It was pushing too hard in the first place that caused the injury. And it was a really tough time for me. I felt so frustrated. I also felt a little bit lost. My identity was so wrapped up in being an athlete and being a runner, being strong and knowing how to push myself, that not being able to do that anymore, it felt really hard. Now, the turning point for me came when I finally realized that rest and recovery was an important part of training. Rather than just a simple pause or punishment, it wasn't for the weak only, it was essential. And I'll also add that fueling correctly for the demands I was putting on my body was also key to my recovery. And when I understood these two concepts around the importance of balance when it comes to energy coming in versus energy being expended, but also the balance between rest and recovery, that's when I started to make real progress, not only physically, but also mentally as well. And not only did I fully recover, but I was able to come back stronger, both physically and mentally. So this experience really reshaped how I think about performance, effort, and growth. And it's a lesson that I now carry into my coaching and into my business. And it's really about recovery not being optional. Recovery is the essential part. It's where magic happens. It's where growth occurs. So I mentioned about how key nutrition was also to my recovery. And another way that you can think about balance when it comes to performance is to think about your performance and well-being like a three-legged stool. And each leg of the stool represents a key concept of performance and well-being. So, for example, the first leg could be mindset, your mental well-being, the way you think, your beliefs, and the stories that you tell yourself. The second leg could be movement and recovery combined because you need the two together, this rhythm of stress and rest, effort and ease. And then finally, nutrition, because nutrition is key also, the fuel that supports everything else. So if you've got that three-legged stool in your head, now can you imagine what it would be like if one of the legs was shorter than the other, or maybe two legs were shorter? Suddenly the whole thing feels kind of wobbly, you're kind of perching precariously on the edge, trying to feel balance, but really it takes a lot of effort to maintain your balance. It's exactly the same in terms of your performance and well-being. Ultimately, you want to give as much attention to each aspect of your performance and well-being, your mindset, your movement and recovery, and your nutrition. So another question for you to ponder, just to let it percolate. If you were to rate your three stool legs, mindset, movement and recovery, and nutrition, which one do you think you're giving less attention to at the moment? Which one are you giving the most attention to? And what's a small step that you could take this week to bring better alignment or balance to those legs on your stool? And when I talk about a small step, I don't mean anything gigantic or big. Often you'll find the smaller steps are the ones that are most powerful and meaningful because you're able to do them consistently. So now I'm all about practical strategies because it's one thing to know the theory, but it's a whole different ball game when you want to put it into real life. So I've got six practical ways that you can apply this idea of balance to your own life. And as I talk through each one of these, have a think for yourself about how this may work in your life, because all of these practical strategies only work if they can fit with your day-to-day life. So the first is schedule recovery. To treat it like any other meeting that you can't miss. So if you regularly prioritize workouts at the gym or going out for a walk, also schedule some downtime for yourself, however that looks, however you rest best. Number two is prioritize sleep. A while ago, I did a certification on sleep and stress recovery. And one of the key principles of that certification was this idea that sleep is the rock star of recovery. It is a thing that's going to deliver best bang for buck in terms of your performance. It's the highest returning recovery tool we have. So prioritize sleep. And I know often that's easier said than done. I also know in today's hustle culture that sometimes not needing much sleep or saying that you don't need much sleep is like a badge of honor. But in reality, very few of us require less than the usual 7 to 8 hours of sleep. So prioritize your sleep. Number three is to be intentional with your time and energy. So I've already mentioned that your time and energy are your most precious commodity. So I encourage you, whenever you say yes to something, to really consider, is this important? And for those things that are important, prioritize that first. So you don't have to say yes to everything. And I know that's such a hard thing to get your head around. Now, there are a number of tools out there that you can use to help with this. And also, please do reach out to me if you'd like me to send one your way, or if you'd like to talk about this a little bit more. I know saying no can be one of the hardest things of all. One little tip that I have that works for me is that whenever I say yes to something, I have to think about what is it that I'm going to say no to. Life is always full of trade-offs. You can't do everything. Number four, this idea of focus on progress over perfection. And again, something that can be quite hard for high achieving people is this idea of not getting caught up with doing everything perfectly all the time. In fact, I would encourage you to think about any win, any progress as being progress. So instead, look for small incremental improvements. You may have heard the saying 1% better every day. That's the idea that if you pick something to focus on and you look to do that 1% better every day, by the end of the year, you'll be 38 times better. That is huge. That little formula, in case you want to check it for yourself, is 1.01 to the power of 365. Of course, it'd be 366 if we were in a leap year, but that's really the power of the compound effect. And this mindset of focusing on progress over perfection, looking to do just a little bit better, will naturally allow you to prioritize recovery more. Number five is to really leverage social support and the power of accountability. So I'd encourage you to share your goals with friends or colleagues, someone that you know, like, and trust. And this is for a couple of reasons. So first of all, there's lots of research into the power of accountability. So if you set yourself a goal, you're 10% likely to do that thing, to achieve that goal. But if you set yourself a goal, then work out a plan, have some next steps, share it with someone that you know, like, and trust, and then also book in a time to meet up with that person, talk about your progress, you're 95% more likely to take action and to succeed. So that's a big jump from 10% to 95%. And again, if accountability is something that you're interested in, please get in contact with me. I also offer accountability coaching for those people that just need a little bit of extra support. And the second reason why I want to encourage you to leverage social support and to share your goals with other people is that by sharing the fact that you're prioritizing recovery time, it gives other people permission to do the same thing. We are social creatures. We do what we see happening around us. And then finally, practice self-compassion. And again, I know this one can be a tricky one, particularly for the high-performing person, that sometimes there's this fear that if you're self-compassionate, that you're going to be soft and that you'll lose your edge. But this isn't the case at all. Research does show that the people that practice self-compassion actually perform better. They're more resilient. They bounce back from setbacks quicker, which means that they perform at a higher level. And they're also physically and mentally healthier and able. So I think of self-compassion as being the fuel of high performance. And if you find this challenging to do, what I'd encourage you to do to start with is just to listen to how you talk to yourself and then look to speak to yourself just a little bit kinder. The goal is to speak to yourself the same way that you would to your best friend or maybe a child. So that's six practical strategies that you can try. Number one, scheduling recovery like you would any other meeting. Two, prioritizing the rock star of recovery, which is sleep. Three, to be intentional with your time and energy. Remember, they're your most precious commodity. You do not need to say yes to everything. to focus on progress over perfection. So looking for small incremental improvements, that 1% better every day. To leverage social support and the power of accountability. And then finally, to remember that self-compassion is the fuel of high performance. So you want to practice that. Now, that's six things. That's a lot. You do not need to do all of these all at once. Instead, what I'd encourage you to do is to pick one and just try it out for a week or two and notice if anything changes. And if it does, awesome, keep doing that. If not, maybe try one of the other strategies. So as you reflect on your rhythm of stress and rest over this coming month, consider that growth doesn't have to come from massive leaps. In fact, often it comes from tiny, consistent actions because that is what is sustainable. And that's exactly what we're going to be exploring in our next episode, where we'll talk about the power of small steps. I'll share why small daily actions add up to lasting change and how you can use them to keep moving forward without overwhelm. So remember, growth doesn't happen in the grind or in the pushing alone. It happens in the space in between. Stress plus rest equals growth. So please give yourself permission to recover. It's not an indulgence. It's not a weakness. It is part of the work. It's where the magic happens. Thank you so much for tuning in with me today. I'm Josie Askin, founder of Spring Coaching, and it's been such a privilege to share this time with you. Until next time, take care of yourself, and I look forward to speaking with you next month.